Hello there, this is Seth Juarez coming to you from DICO Japan 2016 in the beautiful city of Tokyo. I'm excited to be here with some wonderful gentlemen. And here's the thing, I'm excited to talk to you for a number of reasons which we'll get to, but I think we should introduce each other. First, let's start over at the end, Mitchell.
Sure. My name is Mitchell Hashimoto. I'm the founder and CEO of HashiCorp and the initial creator of almost all our tools.
Fantastic.
Hi, Seth. I'm James Casey, and I'm the VP of Partner Engineering at Chef Software.
Fantastic.
And I'm Aaron Williams. I head up advocacy for Mesosphere. We're the creators of DCOS, the data center operating system.
Now, this is awesome because I think as developers, we're moving into this new stage of development where we've taken the agile practices of software development and we're trying to move them over into sort of the infrastructure area of things. And I hear about DevOps all the time, and I've heard of your companies, but how do the products that you build fit into the DevOps pipeline? So let's start over here with you,
Sure. Well, for us, you know, for anybody, a big part of DevOps is about automation, and that's primarily just because of the agility you get and the speed at which you're going. You just sort of have to automate. So I think all of us, to some extent, the tools, the major part they play is just in enabling that automation to get there.
I see. Okay. And what about the products? Because you said there's a bunch of products that you make.
Want me to tell you about the products?
Yeah, come on. Let's hear it.
Okay, well, so there's nine of them, and eight of them are open source, and one is our enterprise product. So there's Vagrant. I'll give you the one sentence for each one, too. So there's Vagrant, which is our tool for development. Packer, which is a tool for creating VM images, physical machine images, and container images. Surf and Console lump into one. Surf and Console, which are both distributed systems to assist you with service discovery, configuration, and service orchestration.
Okay.
Terraform, which is a infrastructure creation tool. You describe your infrastructure as code, and it creates infrastructure at the server level. So he'll talk about Chef, but we create things at a server network device level rather than within a server.
Okay.
There's Vault, which is a security tool. So stores secrets, gives you certificates, things like that. Nomad, which is a scheduler for clustering applications. He'll talk about Mesos. Nomad is in the same category as Mesos. And then Otto. Otto is our eventual sort of successor to Vagrant. It's still kind of a research and development project for us, but I think represents what we'd like to see the future look like. And then the last one is the enterprise tooling.
So you've been like really busy, man. Like I'm tired, just like that's a lot of code. Because I've heard of Vagrant. I've used Vagrant, and it's
cool.
Pretty impressive. Just on its own, but to have all these other tools around it is pretty impressive as well. So
thanks
for you, my friend.
And you remembered all nine.
Yeah.
Which was the best bit.
Well, they're like, I mean, if as a programmer, if you made all of these, they're like your babies, right? You
yes.
Know, you have a favorite one? Oh, you can't say. I know you can't say.
He does, but he's not going to tell you.
Correct.
I love it. Why don't you tell us about the stuff you guys built?
Yeah, so Chef started in configuration management, so the Chef server. So we talk about like Terraform, how do you build up and describe all the infrastructure? Well, Chef takes over and like works out what software should be on that node, what its configuration should be, and how do you put all those together. We launched two new products last year. So one, we started with configuration management. Our users began to say, tell us the best practices around this. How do we do CI/CD? How do we do continuous delivery with this? How do we do it? So we put all that together in a product that's called Chef Delivery.
Uh-huh.
Sort of fits in the same category as Visual Studio Team Services. How do you move things through a workflow, a pipeline in an opinionated way? We also launched a product last year called Chef Compliance. So I think it's great you talk about bringing things from the developer community. So one of the big things at Chef is sort of doing test-driven development. It's written in Ruby. It's great to be in Japan talking about test-driven development in Ruby.
Yeah.
And really, we took the concepts of test-driven development and applied that to compliance, which is compliance is just writing tests.
Yeah.
And so we sort of have embedded that into a product called Chef Compliance that lets security people and operations people collaborate around that compliance inside their continuous delivery workflow.
That's awesome. So I saw Chef probably in 2014 at TechEd mm-hmm. Europe. There was a booth, and I said, so what does it do? And my understanding was that it was sort of like a recipe of how your infrastructure was going to be set up. Is that even close to being right?
That is true, yeah. And so we're called Chef. You know, I mean, we've got stickers here. Everything is a cooking metaphor, so whipping up awesome.
Nice, I love it.
So you have cookbooks that describe a system. So you have something like IIS. Mm-hmm. You have a cookbook that describes how to install it, how to put a new pool, how to put a new app into it. And each phase is described as a recipe. So cookbooks and recipes come together
sure.
to let you basically configure the node to the state that you want it to be in.
And there's a way to do this for all of the nodes, for example. Is
exactly.
that right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, so then you add things on top of that, like search. So if you're installing a database first and now you want your web server to be able to connect to the database, well, you're going to search across it and say, give me all the databases instances in this environment and give me their IP addresses so I can connect them together. So the server gives you that overall view of the current running state of every node in your infrastructure so that they can relate to each other.
So there's like this master that knows about everything that's
exactly.
out there. Okay, awesome. Well, let's talk about your products.
Sure. So, you know, Mesosphere has a product called Data Center Operating System, DCOS. If you think about the way data centers are today, it's a collection of sometimes thousands of individual sure. nodes that are brought together. Then you start putting virtual machines and then containers inside virtual machines. The complexity of that can get yeah. a little out of hand. So what we think is actually this new data center model is a new form factor of an individual computer. If you pool all of the resources, all the memory, all the CPU, all the network from those computers, you could create one big giant computer.
Sure.
And that's really what DCOS is designed to do, is be the operating system for that new form factor. So when you install DCOS across your cluster, you end up with something that feels like one big pool of resources. So then when it comes to running your applications, when it comes to deploying your containers, deploying your IoT frameworks, that's something that you just do into the data center. You don't have to actually say, go run it on this node over here or run it on that node over there. You let DCOS do the hard work of deciding how to orchestrate and how to maintain those applications and frameworks across the entire data center.
I see. And so because applications are changing nowadays, because of the rise of IoT, because of the rise of mobile type devices, the computing infrastructure in the back end has become increasingly complex.
Yep.
And in order to deliver continuously, it feels like we need a lot of help. So what I'm going to do is, let's start with a regular app. Let's just say I have miniature poodles.
Do you actually have miniature poodles?
No, I wish I did. That would be an even better
story.
Now
I'm disappointed. Okay.
Sorry. Let's just say I wanted to build an app where all the miniature poodle owners in the universe can submit pictures and so on. If you're building that kind of application, to me this is a more of a real sort of application. How would that fit into with your products, for example? What can your products do to help me build this app that's going to be a mobile application, that's also going to be a website, mm-hmm. that's going to do something else? I'm going to put it on my Xbox too, because maybe yep. lonely people at night want to look at miniature poodles or something. What can your products do to help me sort of make that at scale application? Let's start here and then we'll go backwards.
Sure. So, and I think there's really maybe three business benefits that I would focus on. First is hyperscale. Of course, once you create this application,
everyone's,
it's going to blow the hell up.
I know.
Right?
I know.
So, what you're going to need is the ability to have a very elastic and flexible framework that you can use to make sure that when you need more power, when you need more compute, it's there and available for you. So that's the first thing. We call it hyperscale operations.
Okay.
Second is developer agility. Of course, once you get this thing out there into the real world, you're going to want to deploy it on a frequent basis. You're going to have an agile methodology that you're using for developing your application and
sure.
the back end that supports it. So what we want is something that enables your team to be able to do that very effectively and efficiently. We call that developer agility, and we have the tools like Jenkins and other things to make that possible.
I see.
Then the third piece is data agility. So once you get this app up and running and you've got all these pictures, you've got all these people coming in and engaging with you inside your community, you want to be able to go to see, who are these people? How can I improve my app to make it better, right?
I see.
And so we're going to offer you the tools like Spark and Kafka and Cassandra. They're going to enable you to take all that data and turn it into
kind of analytics,
something that you can actually take action against. And the data center operating system then runs all of those applications and all of those services on a single framework that's ready for production. So Mesos is being used by companies like Apple and Netflix and Uber. These are companies that are basing their entire operations on this technology at very large scale. So the good news is, if you use DCOS, you're getting something that's ready to go from day one to help you with those three specific business problems.
So as a programmer, though, I'm sitting here writing this thing, right? I'm going to have my container. I'm going to have my REST service, you know, to post
yep.
pictures. I'm going to have my other container that's going to yep. do, you know, user management. Another one that's going to do my authentication and authorization.
Yep.
What do I do with that, with DCOS?
Right. So you're going to define these Docker containers, right?
Okay, I got it.
So inside those containers is going to be microservices, mm-hmm. right? So all of that gets defined in a very well understood way. And for people that are already creating containers today, there's nothing new that they need to learn there. All we're doing is saying, take that stuff that you're already doing so well and deploy it into an infrastructure that's really ready to go in production, and that's what Mesos is. We make it, what we say is it's the easiest way to deploy containers into production. This isn't just about getting it running on your laptop, right?
Right,
you actually want all of those miniature Poodle fans out there to have a great experience. And so this is about production.
I love the distinction that you made of like, hey, your code is your code, but where it lives and how it runs, that's something that DCOS can take care of.
Yeah, you need something that's really production ready for that. It's not something you just want to rely on whatever's out there or rely on some technology that maybe, you know, can't actually scale with you in your business.
Absolutely. So how would Chef help me with my miniature Poodle app? What is it that Chef would do for me and the infrastructure?
First of all your miniature Poodles are going to be wearing little Chef hats.
Exactly. That's right. We're going to make them look good.
Yeah, that's right.
I think one of the interesting things is when you start out, you don't want to go and pay for your infrastructure straight away. I mean, you're starting to develop it.
Yeah.
So you're going to use tools like Vagrant, you know, initially and run it on your laptop. And then you're going to move it to something bigger, and maybe you put it on Azure, and then maybe you need to roll out to more machines on Azure, and then maybe you get big enough, you're going to buy your own data center to run all your miniature Poodles.
Because I will. I mean, obviously.
Of course. I mean, it's a killer app.
I know, clearly going to need it. I'm seriously going to retire after this.
Are we all getting a piece of this, by the way?
Of course. We're all going to. That's right.
But the description of what you're deploying stays the same no matter what environment it's in. So Chef has an approach where everything's very pluggable. What environment you're going to deploy onto. Even you might decide you rewrite it and you add in some containerized components for some of the things and you start deploying to Mesos as well. You move it from VMs across. But the description of how you look at your infrastructure sort of stays the same at an abstract level. You have the components that you're doing regardless of the deployment target. So by writing that infrastructure description of how the node's configured at a high level, you can kind of get portability and migration and move your app around. So Chef lets you do that, and it gives you those tools that let you treat all of that like code as well. So, you know, when you're getting big, like a change to your infrastructure is exactly the same as rolling out a new version of your code.
And that's amazing. So for example, obviously there's going to be 100 developers that are going to want to work on this application, but some might fancy a Node backend. Others might be wanting to use Ruby for the backend. You're saying that for each of these little microservices, Chef can describe this is the version of Node we're using, this
how
is the kind of machine,
yeah.
This is the version of Ruby, because otherwise it's just going to be a mess trying to get these things to interoperate, right?
Right, and what happens when a new developer comes? So
right.
What you want is to fire up a development environment for them that's suitably scaled down. You don't want 100 nodes, but you want 5, but it's running the exact software you're going to be running in production.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you look again, all the principles of software development, catching errors early. So if you actually can catch all that by running what all the software versions are running in production right on your local Vagrant machines, on your VMs locally on your machine, you're going to catch those problems and it moves easier across.
That's amazing now that we're treating physics, because code for me, a long time ago, as someone asked me, what do you do, Seth? I'm like, well, I make error in a computer somehow. And then if the power gets pulled, all of a sudden all my work is gone, right? But now you're saying that physical things should be described as if they were not.
Right. Physical things now have APIs.
That's
machines
amazing.
Have APIs, networks of APIs, so we treat it just like you would treat your microservice. There's a microservice that provisions a new machine. So why would you write your code differently for that than you would for the microservice that you're writing for your business application?
And it's almost like we've up-leveled the agility of development into the agility of the infrastructure with things like Chef.
Yeah.
All right, so now you got to help me out, man. You got tons of stuff that you can help me out with.
Well, that's exactly the benefit. I mean, we have 9 things, and depending on what stage you're at, you're going to use none of them or one of them, or you're going to use all of them, basically. So when you're getting started with your application, you're probably just interfacing with Vagrant, just sort of getting it running on your machine. You're not quite yet worried about deploying it or taking over the world in that sense.
And is Vagrant like a VM, a container? What is it?
Either, but primarily VMs.
Okay.
VMs is a level playing field over multiple operating systems.
Got
the biggest benefit of Vagrant is just getting the same same dev environment across operating systems. So you always have the guy who likes Linux a lot, or the person who wants to use Windows no matter what, despite it being a Mac shop. You know, so it sort of levels that playing field. After you're at that point, you could skip a bunch of things and go, you know, straight to Terraform and spinning up servers, use Chef to actually deploy your application on there. But the kind of interesting thing, the fun thing about HashiCorp is something that was actually published in a magazine today, which is kind of fun, is that, you know, we over-engineer as a cultural practice. And so every piece of software we have, we've built to scale at a crazy level, and we have We have the customers to prove it. And so even if you're a hobbyist, you're using tools that will scale with you both at a human and technical level to a scale that, that honestly a Poodle app probably won't achieve. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Now you've crushed him.
I'm totally sad about it. But tell me a little bit more about Terraform. It's something I've heard about and obviously has a really cool logo.
Yes.
So tell us about what it is, because I'm trying to find the differentiation. Obviously there's some similarities, but there's some differentiation, and I want developers that are watching to be able to make a good choice.
Yeah, Terraform's one of those things that's almost alone in its category. You could compare it to something like CloudFormation or something like Heat, or I believe the Microsoft equivalent is like Azure Resource Templates.
Oh, I see.
You could think of it as that, and it does that, but it's a superset of that. So the thing that makes it unique is that it bridges those two multiple platforms together. So for example, if you wanted to spin up an instance in Azure, but then connect the DNS to something in Dyn or Cloudflare, you're able to do that all dynamically. So you're able to describe, I need a VM, which doesn't exist right now in code, I need a VM. When it comes up, take its DNS address and use that to configure, you know, an A or C name record on my DNS and connect that all together. And
then
all as a unit also bring it down. So in the same way that Chef could sort of describe what to install and in what order, we describe every single part of your data center and how to bring it up and then it brings it back down. So that's something that Terraform does.
And so Chef would be like at the description of the container level or the VM level. Terraform is more of the how to
That's how we paint the picture. So we say like Terraform will bring up your infrastructure, and then Terraform actually has hooks into things like Chef, as well as the other configuration management tools or just Bash. And we say like Chef, Terraform brings your data center up to the point where you have the electricity flowing through the whole thing, and it's running, and it's ready to go. And then a configuration management tool could come along and finish it out, basically. Or not. If you have an image already pre-baked, then it might not have to run. But, yeah. Okay.
So you mentioned Terraform and Vagrant. What were some of the other tools that you mentioned that HashiCorp makes that would help me in this app that obviously is not going to scale all the way like I would want?
Well, probably the other two that you're almost certainly going to use at some point are Consul and Vault. Those four altogether, Vagrant, Terraform, Consul, and Vault, are the four that you're almost always going to need just to get going at a certain point. And so Consul is going to give you service discovery. So how do you find your database, as well as configuration? What port do I listen on? Things like that. It gives you the configuration that are knobs, like the things that you actually change dynamically. That's what Consul is going to give you. And then Vault is going to be where you store all your secrets, or that handles encryption for you, gives you certificates. So basically anything you could think of that's security related is what Vault's going to handle for you.
So let's talk about Consul a little bit, because I'm a little unclear. You know, obviously my ideas are very small and I'm trying to make them grow, right? Consul, you said that there's a bunch of knobs. What are you talking about when you mean knobs? Are you talking about like the servers themselves, the containers in them? What is it that we're configuring and how do you do that?
Any of that, but usually the applications. So there's sort of two types of configuration that emerge when you're deploying an application. There's the what I like to call static configuration, which is something that configuration management, in my opinion, excels at, which is laying down the files, configuring the applications that run or the services that run on a machine, stuff that doesn't change that often. And so like the updates that happen to those can happen at a slower scale. It could happen once every half an hour or something. But then there's a lot of things that I like to call dynamic configuration, which you would ideally like to happen at a millisecond scale, which is or faster, which are things like feature flags or things like maintenance mode, or you know, how many threads do I need to spin up. These are things that if you're changing them, you just generally want it to happen fast. And for those things, that's where Consul lives.
So like your connection string to your database, for example.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, that makes perfect sense, because what happens is, like when I'm writing a connection string and it works on my machine, when this thing gets deployed out, there needs to be something that tells the machine, okay, that's not where you're going to be looking anymore.
Yeah, we like to think of sort of our whole stack as a bunch of Lego pieces. So we're giving you a bunch of Lego pieces, and we have a vision of how you're going to put those Lego pieces together to build your house or your castle or whatever. But a lot of people have a slightly different view on it, so you could swap out the Lego piece with something else.
So let's talk about DevOps in general, because I have been to a lot of DevOps talks where they're like, DevOps, 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 you should do DevOps, DevOps is good, you should do it, right? And I'm like, okay, I should do it. And then I get to my computer and I'm like, okay, I'm going to start doing DevOps, right? It feels like there's a lot of you should, but there's a lot of talk about this is how. But now your tools are actually the this is how. So why don't you talk about your products and how they fit into the DevOps pipeline? Like, as a developer, where do I go? Once I have this bit of code, once I have this infrastructure, how do your tools help us sort of streamline that pipeline to get it out? We have about 3 minutes, so I'll give you a minute each.
Yeah, sure. So I think for all of us, it starts with open source. So it starts with getting involved in the communities that we have and the ecosystems that we have around our open source offerings. That's where you're going to find sort of the leaders that can help you understand what these technologies are and how to take advantage of them.
Right.
For DCOS, it's dcos.io. You can go there to download, install, and run DCOS for free within your cloud, within Azure, et cetera.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think we've been here at Decode now for 2 days, and for 90% of it, we didn't talk about our tools.
Yeah.
Because the tools aren't the important thing. It's, you know, DevOps is a team sport, which might be why it's so hard to do it on your own.
Yeah,
it's bringing people together around giving the same business value, and it's a set of patterns and practices you do. Some of that is automation, which we've talked about. Some of that's culture, and a lot of that's cloud. How do you get moved faster? How do you do that safely? And sort of what we've been talking about while here is the principles and practices and tools that let you get there.
Absolutely.
I think it's a lot of organizational change, but it's also a lot about automating things and measuring things. So you got to move fast, and if you're going to move fast, you're going to want to automate things. So what all our tools give you is the ability to move fast in some category. And so what I like to say to get involved with DevOps is find the thing that causes you pain, that's causing you primarily to move slow, fix that, automate that, figure out the people processes to fix that, and then rinse and repeat for the next slowest thing, and the next slowest thing, and suddenly you're flying.
See, and that's probably the best advice I've heard DevOps-wise. Instead of that you should DevOps, you know, it's a what is causing you pain in your development or in delivering value, which is a better, what is causing the slowdowns in delivering value to your customers? Fix that, and there's a set of tools, obviously, that you can use. So can you tell us your websites where we can go to learn more? We'll start again here.
Yeah, sure. So I said it before, dcos.io is the right place to get started, to get the data center operating system and to get connected into the community.
Awesome.
Chef.io, and come to learn.chef.io for lots of tutorials and DevOps advice.
Awesome.
HashiCorp.com, so HASHICorp.com, and that'll link you to all our products.
That's awesome. So I feel like we did not have enough time. I would invite you, if you can, if you have time, I will email you and I'll come wherever you are. We should talk about your tools at length so that people can get a sense for what it is they should be doing. And I think hopefully you will do
that. Let's definitely do it. And thanks to you, thanks to Microsoft, thanks to CreationLine for having us.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
thanks
great.
So much. Thanks so much for being with
Thank
us.
You.
Again, we're here at Decode 2016 with some of the leaders in DevOps. I'm pretty excited to be with you. Pretty excited to learn how to do this. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. We'll see you next time. Take care.